The case is Hart versus Board of County. And if anybody here should know how to pronounce that case, it should be me, I'm sure. Hart v. Board of County Commissioners of Johnson County. It's 183091. This is like a family reunion. Welcome back. This is, I guess, a moral of how not to handle appeals. This was seriatim opinions, but sometimes we can't agree, and that's what you get, three different opinions. Let's see what happens today. Counsel, we're ready to hear you.
Thank you, Your Honor. And may it please the court, Alan Pixton from Kirkland & Ellis LLP on behalf of Appellants the Harts. Also with me is my co-counsel, Cheryl Pilot of Morgan Pilot.
Did you raise the mic a little bit?
Yes, Your Honor, I apologize. I'll try to keep my voice up as well. The Harts have been waiting.
God save us from soft-spoken counsel. Try to hear them so we can help them.
Well, I have the double whammy of being soft-spoken and hard of hearing, so do our best here. The Harts have been waiting for justice for nearly 7 years. They were denied justice when the district court violated this court's mandate and ignored this court's majority holdings and law of the case. And the Harts papers detail why this court should direct the district court to enter judgment as a matter of law for the Harts on their trespass and false arrest claims, vacate the judgment on the remaining claims, and order a new constitutionally adequate trial. The district court violated this court's mandate. In its per curiam opinion, this court unequivocally reversed the district court's grant of summary judgment on the unlawful search and seizure claims against the remaining defendants. And although the court limited the Harts' count one under Franks, which alleged the warrant was invalidly obtained, the per curiam opinion contains no such limitation with respect to the Harts' count two, which alleges that the deputies unlawfully executed the search warrant regardless of the warrant's validity. Judge Lucero concluded that the injury to the Harts' constitutional rights continued through defendants' execution of the search warrant. Judge Moritz concluded that because the district court assumed the warrant's validity in entering summary judgment on those claims, referring to the Harts' Franks claim, I would also hold that the district court erred in granting summary judgment on the Harts' wrongful search and seizure and state law claims. Then joined by Judge Lucero, Judge Moritz held that...
I thought she also said that the issue of prolonging the search had not been had been waived by failure to present it adequately on appeal. Did she not say that?
She, in a back and forth with Judge Phillips, said that, and I think you have to understand the context of that, because she was talking there about the federal count two. But it is right after she said, in light of my conclusion that one of the Harts' Franks claims survived summary judgment, I would also conclude that the Harts' wrongful search and seizure claims, plural, necessarily survives. And in that part of her...
They do. If there's a Franks problem, that would throw out the whole search, and you would have all your claims. But the theory that the search was... unconstitutionally prolonged because of dissipation of probable cause, she said had not been adequately presented on appeal, number one. And number two, I thought Judge Lundstrom let you try that anyway.
Let me answer those questions in sequence. Number one, when Judge Moritz made the statement that you're referring to about not needing to decide the issues on count two, and saying that she felt that the Harts had not adequately preserved their dissipation claim with respect to the federal constitutional claim. She did that speaking for herself, and two, she did it by contrasting by saying that they had preserved their general warrant theory. And that theory, the general warrant theory, Judge Lundstrom found that this court had actually affirmed, when we think the plain language of the per curiam opinion and the plain language of Judge Moritz's opinion, where she was joined by Judge Lucero, make clear that while the majority of the panel felt that The Franks claim or count one should be limited to a particular theory that there was no such limitation with respect to the Hart's count two or claim regarding the unlawful search of the home. And I know this is a little late, but could I reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal?
Of course.
I apologize you don't need for not bringing that up to be any years. In other words, because they found issues of fact with the warrant's validity, Judges Lucero and Moritz necessarily reversed the Hart's count two claim, which dealt with whether the warrant was constitutionally executed, regardless of the warrant's validity. The per curiam opinion reversed carte blanche count two, the unlawful warrant execution claim, without regard to any particular theory. It's clear that the panel knew how to limit its remand on a particular claim to a particular theory. It did so with respect to the Franks claim. The absence of identical language in the mandate paragraph with the unlawful warrant execution search and seizure claim indicates that remand on that claim was not limited to particular theories. But the district court ignored the mandate and held that this court's opinion preserved only one federal claim.
And it's the general search issue that you say Judge Lindstrom should have allowed the jury to pursue and didn't. Is that the only claim?
The general warrant. General search or general warrant. Yeah. I think it's the same thing. We can call it either one. As well as the prolonged detention theory.
That did go to the jury, did it not?
It did not. Only the dissipation theory under the state law claims went to the jury, and we have separate issues with that having gone to the jury.
Well, if they decided that against you and found that there was still probable cause, how could your federal claim survive? That's harmless error at the least, is it not?
Well, I think a violation of the mandate is never harmless error. But in addition to that,
why not?
Well, this court's rulings and the Supreme Court rulings say it's not.
Same issue comes under a different cause of action, the exact same issue for the jury to decide has been decided adversely to you under the state law claim, which in substance is identical, then I don't see how that's not either preclusive or harmless error.
Well, two points in response to that, Your Honor. The first would be that, number one, the general warrant theory was not tried under any count.
That I understand.
The prolonged detention theory was not tried under any count. With respect to dissipation, we believe that the court's holding, and this was a two-judge majority with Judge Phillips joined by Judge Lucero, that this court held that the warrant, using only the undisputed language of the warrant and the warrant affidavit, that the warrant only provided probable cause to the deputies to search for an active marijuana grow. And it's undisputed that at trial, very early on, the deputies found the tomato garden in the basement. They tested it, found it was negative. It's undisputed that they switched their search from searching for an active grow to a dismantled grow, and then they switched from searching for a dismantled grow to only personal use. And from the 90-minute mark on, there's only one deputy who testified about what there's...
Is that the same argument you made on the state law claim?
Well, it is, and it's that's the dissipation theory on the state law claim, which was definitely reversed and remanded. But Judge Lungstrom ignored the law of the case, ignored this court's holding, and did not grant, and impermissibly, and we think erred in not granting the Hart's judgment as a matter of law because there were no disputed issues of material fact with respect to the fact that the deputies continued to search the Hart's home only for personal use marijuana, even after they no longer had any more reason to suspect the Hart's than the average American of having anything to do with marijuana.
So you would reverse, you say that the jury verdict was not supported by the evidence on the state law claim, and so you could bring it as a federal claim also.
So the way I would frame it slightly differently is that that issue of trespass and false arrest under the state law claims, under the dissipation theory, should not have gone to the jury.
Okay.
Our motion for judgment as a matter of law, which we filed during trial at the close of evidence, should have been granted, And that's one of the things we're asking this court to do, is to direct the district court to enter judgment as a matter of law on the Hart's trespass and false arrest claims.
Just pointed to the clock. You'd asked for 5 minutes, and
I have about 40 seconds left. If there aren't, in addition to the 5 minutes, if there aren't any other questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Carson?
I don't have anything.
Thank you. Your time is reserved.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Lawson Hester, and I am pleased to represent all 12 of the defendants below, who are the appellees before this court.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Yes, Your Honor. We would present to this court that this matter on appeal is a very simple case of the execution of a search warrant in the context of the two positive field tests that were originally procured at the plaintiff's home, and there was subsequently a warrant issued by a state district court judge pursuant to the law that prevailed, resulting in a search of the plaintiff's home that lasted 2 hours and 37 minutes. This is the second appeal, as the court noted, in this matter. The second appeal here arises from a jury trial which was commenced in December of 2017. In December, it lasted 6 days. There was a unanimous finding by the jury in favor of all defendants and against all plaintiffs. A couple of points raised by the appellant that I'd like to address. The question relative to the issue of dissipation, both in the context of the Fourth Amendment claim as well as in the context of the state law claims. In the context of the Fourth Amendment, there was as this court has noted, a per curiam decision in which you, Judge Locera, specifically joined with Judge Phillips with regard to the issue of dissipation of probable cause. If you will recall, Judge Phillips, in the original decision, did make some discussion about dissipation of probable cause, but also entered judgment or would affirm, in fact, voted to affirm, based on the facts and circumstances and the law, if you will, not being clearly established at the time of the events in question surrounding the deputy's prolonged period of time in the search. Additionally, with regard to the third member of the per curiam panel, Judge Moritz, Judge Moritz found that the argument relative to dissipation in terms of the Fourth Amendment had, in fact, been abandoned by the plaintiffs on appeal. To the extent that we get to the four state law claims that were reversed for trial, those were for trespass, false arrest, assault, and outrageous conduct or intentional type infliction of emotional distress. The court, Judge Lundstrom, presiding, specifically found and allowed the court to consider whether or not there was any dissipation of probable cause during the period of time that the deputies were involved in the search of the plaintiff's residence. The jury unanimously found, in the form of a special interrogatory, after finding that, first, that the defendants had not lied, in other words, had not violated the exception in Franks versus Delaware to obtain the search warrant in and of itself. The jury unanimously determined they did not. Then moved to the state law claims under the special interrogatory provided to the jury with the instructions. The jury specifically was asked to determine, did probable cause at any point dissipate during the deputy's presence and during the search of the plaintiff's premises? The jury specifically found it did not. That was found to be determinative of the trespass and of the false arrest claims on the basis of that would have given the deputies a legal privilege to remain at the dwelling.
Let me just ask you one question, because
yes, sir.
I don't want to inject myself in the case at the argument stage, but I do need to ask this question. Is there any evidence upon which a verdict could be sustained that determines that there was no dissipation after they discovered nothing but tomato plants growing in the basement. What remained?
Yes, Your Honor, and specifically that was addressed by the searching deputies who were at the plaintiff's home. There was an issue first as to whether or not there was an actual active grow operation in the plaintiff's residence. They were able to determine at a certain point that there was not an active grow operation, but the deputies also believed them to be between active grows at that point in time. They also believed, based on the...
They determined to be what?
In between active grow.
What does that mean?
Well, in other words, that there had been a harvest. Okay. That there had been a harvest of marijuana.
What did they find to let them come to that conclusion?
They found 9 empty containers from which no vegetation was being processed. That left multiple deputies who testified to the jury that they believed that there had been a harvest and that there was a basis for that marijuana to be within the plaintiff's residence. And within the specific scope of the warrant, they therefore continued to search for not only that.
But so they thought that 9 empty containers indicated that they were going to find harvested marijuana in the residence?
They did, based upon the knowledge that the deputies had at the time. They had conducted 2 trash pulls, which were field tested and revealed a positive field test for the residue of marijuana or THC. Armed with that information, the deputies had 2 beliefs that were expressed at trial, either that some of the marijuana had been harvested or that there was a partially dismantled grow operation and that they would find residue of the parts of the dismantled operation within the residence. Additionally...
I mean, what would they be looking for a dismantled operation?
They could be looking of any of the attributes of a... This was a hydroponic grow operation.
Right.
And they would be looking for any aspects that had been harvested. As I remind the court that what they found in the initial trash pulls was that this marijuana would have been processed, or that they had found evidence of processed marijuana with the residue of THC, so they assumed, rightfully so, that this marijuana could have been processed and could have been available in any form. Thus, as per the warrant issued by Judge Ruddock, the state district court judge, that warrant directed them to search for marijuana in any form.
One of my favorite judges, Judge Baldock, is apt to say, "If ifs and nuts were candy, or no, if and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas." They found 9 containers, nothing else. If this and but that is not any basis to continue a search, right?
Well, the jury was specifically presented with all of that information, including exactly what each of the deputies did. They were specifically directed and instructed properly, with no complaints relative to the substance of dissipation, that is, if probable cause goes away. And the jury unanimously found that at no time did probable cause dissipate. That is a factual finding that is undisturbed by the jury. When we get to the issue of counsel for the appellants talked about personal use marijuana. It's uncontroversial.
In context, remind us of one thing. Was there evidence presented to the jury that these officers elected to search the warrant when the children were home, that the timing of the search was conducted when the children were home?
The search was conducted when the children were home, but it was not done purposefully for that purpose. They were there, and the record is clear that what was done is that all 4 of the plaintiffs, including the 2 children, were placed on the sofa in their living room. They were not harmed. They were not physically assaulted. They had no weapons pointed at them. And in fact, the children were allowed to play games and so forth during the pendency of the search. So they were not in the areas that were being searched. They were with their mother and father on the sofa in the search of the home. What is clear and what the jury necessarily determined, and Judge Lundstrom specifically noted in his post-trial rulings, was that the deputies did not exceed the scope of the warrant on the basis that they did not search any portion of the house that could not logically contain marijuana, which disposes of what I consider to be an even unasserted, unappealed general warrant theory. So as a result...
What did they not search?
I think they... conducted a search of most of the areas of the home where marijuana could be concealed.
That's like the whole house.
The majority of the house, I would concede, was searched, necessarily so, because it could be concealed in any area of the home. This was a large house. One of the reasons that took a longer period of time to search was that the house was disheveled. It was large. There were numerous hiding places, if you will, and so the deputies, to be consistent with the district court's order, were required to conduct a search for marijuana in any form, and that's specifically what the warrant described, and that's specifically what they did. Multiple deputies specifically testified that they at no time conducted a general search under a general warrant theory, but instead they were looking for specifically what the warrant directed them to do. In order to do that, they had to conduct a search of the home. The warrant did not confine the search to the hydroponic grow operation, nor did the warrant tell them to cease and desist if the hydroponic grow operation in active use was not found.
The problem I have with this is it seems to me that once they found that they had come across a tomato growing operation, that the PC had dissipated at that point, and any other evidence, the empty containers, was equally probative of finding that they were going to plant more tomatoes to the idea that they had previously had marijuana in them. So it just seems to me that maybe the argument that this should have never made it, that the state claims on the PC should have never made it to the jury, is correct.
Well, in the previous decision, in the per curiam decision, Judge Cicero, I believe, adopted the state law findings of Judge, or the state law opinion of Judge Moritz. One of those particular points is that Judge Moritz found that the dissipation argument had been abandoned by the plaintiffs on appeal. So it was appropriate for the district court to submit the issue of dissipation because it had not been preempted on the state law claims.
It doesn't mean it was right. It just means they didn't appeal it before.
Right, and which would leave, because the district court ultimately ruled in its grant of summary judgment, which was appealed in the context of qualified immunity, that was undisturbed, if you will, from the standpoint of the appellate argument, and therefore the district court appropriately took that matter as undisturbed. But In the actually erring, if at all, in the plaintiff's favor or the appellant's favor, the court did not take away the issue of dissipation from the jury. Instead, there was no evidence that was not presented to the jury that would be relevant to the issue of dissipation. In other words, the plaintiffs were able to present all of their proof in terms of what happened to them, in terms of what happened to the deputies, in terms of what the deputies found, and in terms of what the law stated with regard to dissipation. And after mature consideration, the jury specifically found, applicable to the state law claims, that they did not, that probable cause at no point during the search dissipated.
Go ahead and finish your thought on that.
And that came from, again, the state law opinion, which effectively would be treated as a two-judge finding, if you will, on the state law claims. Again, was Judge Moritz, and he specifically had found in his decision that he felt that the plaintiff's argument relative to dissipation, which would be part and parcel of what Judge Carson was asking, was specifically abandoned. But instead of deeming that argument to be abandoned, the jury was allowed to consider dissipation and found that there was none.
By the way, it's Judge Moritz, and Judge Moritz is a woman, for future reference.
I apologize if I got my pronouns incorrect.
She's not here. You're safe.
Thank you.
I'm curious what happened on the general warrant claim, that the search exceeded the scope of the warrant. And did the plaintiffs on remand argue that they should be allowed to present that to the jury? And how was that resolved if they did?
Yes, Your Honor. That was argued by the plaintiffs on remand that they should be allowed to pursue a general warrant theory. However, if this panel will look back at the per curiam decision, the general warrant theory was only addressed by a singular judge. It was not part of the per curiam basis for reversal, and it was not deemed to be a probative point for purposes of this court, of the prior panel's reversal. In other words, the general warrant theory Number one, it was not supported by the evidence either in the summary judgment stage or on remand. But secondly, that the general warrant theory was only discussed by a single member of the per curiam panel.
Was that theory part of the state law claim?
On the general warrant theory?
Yes.
The plaintiffs contended somewhat ambiguously, I believe, that it was part of the Fourth Amendment claim and also part of the state law claim. And in the context also of their argument of law of the case, which I don't think has any application here. So when the court looked at this, the court granted summary judgment on count two of the pretrial order and on the count two of the second amended complaint, which preceded the first appeal. The general warrant theory was ruled against by the district court. I see my time is up. I may finish my response.
I just want to find out what happened.
Yes, the general warrant theory was ruled upon by the district court. It was not a basis of the court's remand of this prior panel.
After remand, Judge Lundstrom said the general warrant theory is off the table.
He ruled that it was not disturbed by the per curiam panel decision.
Okay, and was that with respect to both the federal claim and the state law claim? Or was there no state law general warrant claim?
It was principally asserted in the federal context, but again, the per curiam panel did not.
I'm not interested in what the per curiam panel said. I want to know, we can decide whether Judge Lundstrom followed what the per curiam panel said. I'm curious what happened on remand. And were the plaintiffs able to make a general search claim under their state law claim on remand? Or did Judge Lundstrom foreclose that?
That was not allowed on the basis simply that that decision had been decided and was not reversed on appeal.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I just...
No, absolutely. You better take the time to hear this. Go ahead, please. Would you add a minute to counsel's time, please? Thank you. For the record, 202 add for the time that the other counsel went over.
Okay. A couple of corrections I want to make. To be clear, the leader of the search team, Deputy Blake, testified at trial. Do you deny that everyone on that search team was looking for any kind of criminal activity that was involved in the house? Answer, no. Do you deny it? Answer, no, I do not deny that.
Now why is that relevant?
It's relevant because defense counsel said there's no evidence that they were looking for any kind of criminal activity. The leader of the search team actually testified that they were operating as if they had a general warrant. They were looking for any kind of criminal activity to pin on the Harts.
But in Fourth Amendment context, the state of mind of the officers is not relevant, is it? So the question isn't whether what was going on in their minds, but whether they searched anywhere that wasn't authorized by the warrant. Am I wrong about that?
I agree with you. Their state of mind doesn't matter. And why this quote is relevant is because that team was searching. They were looking for any evidence of any criminal activity.
Yeah. But isn't the issue whether they searched someplace that they had no right to search for marijuana?
I agree with that. Based on the holding of this court, two judges, Judge Lucero and Judge Phillips, held that whatever weak probable cause existed dissipated when the deputies discovered the tomato garden. They tested it positive. They tested it negative for drugs.
Okay. I'm not sure how that response was responsible to my question.
Let me finish.
That's an important issue. I'm not saying that's not an important issue. I don't see how that relates to the...
So the testimony at trial was they searched the children's underwear drawers. They searched a 7-year-old's backpack. They searched a 13-year-old's backpack. They searched the children's dirty laundry. They searched all kinds of places that one could never find an active marijuana grow operation, a dismantled marijuana grow operation. And taken to its logical extreme, those deputies, their position would be those deputies could still be in the Harts house today, 7 years later, because by golly, they could find a marijuana seed, perhaps under a piece of lint or a piece of dust on the ground.
Well, I mean, you can't look in a wallet, but that's the general rule. If they have probable cause to look for Did it include documentary evidence of a marijuana grow? Was that covered by the warrant?
So the warrant itself stated that they could look for marijuana in all forms. But again,
that wasn't my question. Not marijuana in all forms. I said documentary.
I don't believe it mentioned documentary.
In searches for drugs, there's often included in the warrant evidence of, you know, who they're selling to, you know, financial records, things like that. That was not included in the warrant.
I do not believe that was included in it, Your Honor.
But there's not an exception to say you can't, you know, if there were an exception that you couldn't go in the kids' room, then that would be an open invitation to always put your criminal stuff in the kids' bedroom. That might, you know, you're going to have a child abuse claim against you also at that point, right. But that I don't think is the legal standard, that if it's in the kids' room or whatever, then you have no probable cause to look there, or the warrant doesn't cover that.
Right, but what we have here that we don't have in the typical case is we have a ruling on the scope of this warrant with a two-judge majority of the Tenth Circuit that said this warrant, regardless of what it says on its face, does not provide probable cause to search for marijuana in all forms. It provides weak probable cause to search for an active marijuana grow.
So
the problem that the deputies face is that once they knew there was no tomato, they knew there was no marijuana grow in that house, they just kept searching. And that is impermissible under Kansas law. The Judge Lucero and Judge Phillips, in their majority opinion, stated that probable cause, whatever weak probable cause they had, dissipated when they found the tomato garden. And the deputy's testimony themselves.
But they specifically said, I don't recall reading this, but I wasn't looking for this either. You're saying that two of the three members of the panel made clear that they thought the warrant was not authorized for anything except evidence of a marijuana grow operation and would not include, did not encompass probable cause to look for, say, marijuana that might have been harvested. Is that your understanding?
Yes, Your Honor. And it's found on pages in the appendix A241 to 240, 251, with the key language really being on 247. And this, again, is Judge Phillips joined by Judge Lucero. Nothing in the affidavit gave or even tried to give probable cause that the Harts used marijuana unrelated to a grow operation. When the deputies discovered a tomato garden, their entire basis for believing that the Harts used marijuana disappeared. They had no more basis to search the Harts' house for marijuana than they had to search any random neighbor's house. A conclusion that was almost mimicked by testimony from one of the officers at the house, who said 90 minutes into the search, they had no more reason to believe the Harts were engaged in any criminal activity than any average American, and yet they continued to search their house exclusively for personal use marijuana. They did not have probable cause to do that.
They specifically said personal use as opposed to harvested marijuana?
Yes. Deputy Shoup, I think this is, it'll be the block quotes in our brief. Let me find it really quickly. Oh, I'm looking in the wrong place. It's in A399 in the appendix is the quote of Deputy Shoup's testimony on that.
That they were only looking for personal use marijuana. What he said was they were only looking for personal use marijuana.
Yes, my time is up.
That's all right.
If I may respond. And yes, he said, I'll just pull it up if you don't mind so I don't misquote it. Apologize. In fact, you were there for over 2 hours. Yes. No active grow operation. You realized that within the first 20 to 30 minutes, right? Yes. An hour and a half, you realized you would not find a dismantled operation, correct? I would say that's correct, yes. So at that point, an hour and a half in, you were just looking for at this point even a small personal use, correct? Answer, yes, we would have switched to look for any kind of evidence of personal use, yes. And at that point, you were just looking for, at that point, even a small personal use, correct? Correct. That's Appendix 399 through 401.
Thank you, Counsel. Further questions? No further questions. Case is submitted. Counselor excused. We thank you both for your arguments.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll take our customary break at this time, and we'll proceed to the last case on the docket at that point. Thank you.